pass the ball, Jones. Gotta pass the ball, Jones. Gotta pass the ball, Jones.
Oh, and a basket here. This place goes crazy. And one.
The game comes down to fundamentals.
So, when you were playing at Xavier, your recruiting process, I know this came up recently, your name got in there. You actually won Mr. Michigan, or Mr. Basketball in the state of Michigan, over a name that's pretty famous right now, huh?
Yeah, I know. I guess I'm well known for it and will always be somewhat connected, but I did. My senior year, 2008, I was a Mr. Basketball winner in Michigan, and second was Draymond Green, who we all know now is tearing it up in the NBA and All-Star for the Golden State Warriors. So it's been I grew up playing with Draymond because I grew up in a town called Frankenmuth, Michigan, which is about 15 minutes out of Saginaw, Michigan, where a bunch of good players were playing at that time. So me and Draymond played on the same AU team from about sixth grade to 12th grade and, played against each other, with each other, competed. And we both had really good years as seniors. His team ended up winning the Class A state title. But I had some, I think, outrageous numbers that were kind of, people were kind of wowed at because I averaged like 38 a game, and I set about five records at Michigan between three-pointers and what I did at the free throw line. And, it's been documented too a little bit. Draymond's kind of that guy sometimes that gets looked over, and he does a lot of things that don't necessarily come up in the box score at times. And he kind of gets overlooked and maybe overshadowed by some other stars that are on his team. But he's always been that guy who's very versatile. It's been pretty crazy to see his maturation process as a player, too. And just, when he came in at Michigan State, he was a little bit, overweight. A lot of people thought he was undersized, and he kept getting in better shape, kept working on his craft, and it's paying dividends for him. So I think he'd be okay with giving me Mr. Basketball at this point with all the money that he's making. I need to call him and get a loan.
Yeah. Was he always a little crazy in high school? Because he's a little crazy now.
He always had a flair to him. I mean, he always had a pop, where you never completely knew what was going on in his head. But that's what made him good. I mean, he doesn't mind ruffling feathers. If you're playing on his team, the guy's a competitor. He hates losing. He hates being out of the game. He wants to be out there at all times. But, Draymond's always had kind of that pop to him and that little bit of an edge that's allowed him to really play at such a high level.
So now, obviously, you go to Xavier. What were, I guess, some of the memorable, you mentioned three Sweet 16s. Is that what kind of sticks out most about your time at Xavier? Or, obviously, outside of the relationships you had with teammates and coaches?
Yeah. Well, I mean, those moments, too. I think if you haven't been to the Cintas Center, it's a phenomenal place to watch a game.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Xavier has some great fans. I mean, the home games were so much fun. I think, as a player, I always look forward to playing in front of, your home fans. And, they do such a good job, with everything when it comes to pregame, postgame, in-game stuff. Xavier really knows how to put on a good show and entertains the crowd the whole time. So, I mean, home games is something I think I definitely miss looking back too, as a player. And then, making those conference championships, those rivalry games. And then back when I was playing, we get the chance to go home and home with Dayton, which were always fun games. The UC games were always awesome. And then I like, away games too. And one of my favorite places to play was at Hinkle. I'm kind of like that old school, Michigan Midwest type guy. So Hinkle was one of my favorite places to play. Between the rivalry games, the home games, and the runs that you make in your conference tournament and in the NCAA tournament, those are the ones that really kind of stick out in your mind.
Yeah, the Dayton rivalry that you mentioned is another one. That's a great regional rivalry that they need to figure that out and play once a year. Obviously, this year it happened, but it was down in Florida. I mean, those programs are so similar, especially with Archie and Mac, the way they have their programs trending. obviously the A10, it's not a mid, it's one of those like small major programs. I won't call it a mid major, but that's one that just needs to happen. And even UD Arena and Cintas remind me so much of each other. Obviously, yeah, the arena is a little bit bigger, but just the feel of home games there and the atmosphere. And I don't know if it's just set up the same way or what, but they just remind me so much of each other.
They do. It's a tough situation, I think, for Xavier right now, too, is how do you put Dayton on the schedule? Because I think in some ways they don't want to compete with them from a recruiting standpoint. And right now, with how well that they've played in the Big East, I don't know if you want to start that conversation of Dayton possibly getting into the Big East or, you know, putting them in the same category as where Xavier is right now. It's tough. I mean, if you're Dayton, obviously, I think at this time you want to go at Xavier, whether you're playing at the Cintas or whether you're playing at UD Arena. But for Xavier at this point, as much as you love the rivalry and as much as I loved it as a player and would love to see it more often, I hope that they can figure it out. Xavier doesn't want to give up, you know, that recruiting trail that they have right now. And if they kind of allow Dayton to get in that conversation, they get in the Big East, you know, now you're battling with kids in your own backyard.
What's it like, you know, with the whole realignment where obviously you're an A-10 guy. Is it weird considering Xavier is a Big East member now, or is it kind of obviously all tongue in cheek or jesting between, you know, the older guys who are A-10 looking at the Big East saying, "Oh, you guys are a little different than us," or anything like that?
Well, I think, you know, the Big East is a better conference definitely as a whole, right? Then we're talking about the new Big East. You know, the A-10 as a whole, right? I mean, there's still not that respect factor as what the old Big East had, right? When you're missing, you know, some teams like Syracuse and Louisville, and then, you know, even this year when you look at the Big East, some of your big name, you know, teams like a St. John's, you want that New York market, and with the way that they've been playing recently, the Big East hasn't been able to get that. Georgetown really struggled this year, and then with Villanova not being able to advance in the tournament, as you would think, I think the perception around the country is that the Big East is a good conference, but not a great conference yet. You know, hopefully over the years, I think that perception will change. But, you know, I've watched enough of it. There's, you know, all across the board, there's special players, special coaches and programs in the Big East. I would expect those teams in the tournament this year to make some runs, you know, especially when you're looking at Villanova and Xavier. And then I would think Seton Hall, I think they're going to be a tough out for everybody. I know we, you know, briefly mentioned them earlier.
So when you were growing up in Michigan, were you a Michigan fan? Were you a Michigan State fan, or were you somewhere else?
Yeah, I was more of a Michigan fan. My dad was a big Maize and Blue guy, so grew up, you know, Michigan football. I was Michigan basketball. When I got to high school, shifted a little bit. Drew Neitzel, who was like Big Ten Player of the Year.
He was in college for 32 years.
Yeah, no, he was a friend of mine, so I got to know, you know, the Michigan State guys really well. So once I kind of got to high school and started going through the recruiting process, I didn't like have necessarily the same allegiance on the basketball side, but, you know, for me, Michigan football is, you know, that's probably one of my, you know, favorite teams that I continue to watch and continue to follow.
So looking back now at Michigan, who's a team, I think before the season, I thought they were going to be contenders in the Big Ten. I think John Beilein is the best offensive coach in America. I think he's vastly underappreciated, especially with having to deal with all these injuries. You look at this year alone with LeVert being out for pretty much the whole year, Spike Albrecht being out for pretty much the whole year. You know, they're kind of a disappointing team. I know we kind of mentioned off air Cincinnati being one of those teams who were disappointing. What other teams have just kind of left more to be desired for you? You know, I've kind of harped on it all year to where I think, you know, you look at those teams, you look at Gonzaga, Wichita State, even Maryland from their preseason hype to where they are now, just haven't lived up to expectations.
Yeah, Maryland's one I thought kind of at the beginning of the year would really like cement themselves as, mm-hmm. as, you know, if not the top team for sure, you know, mentioned in that category. And I've watched them a few times. I think when Melo Tremble is going, they're really good. And then when he struggles, they're average to me. I think that's hurt them. They haven't really found a way to be as consistent as what I thought they would be. Cincinnati, you know, is under, you know, Coach Cronin, they're a team that grinds it out. You know, they grind out every single game. You know, at times this year, and just the way that they shoot the ball has allowed them to shoot themselves out of a lot of games. Those two teams come to mind probably more than anyone about. But, hey, you get to the tournament, you get a good matchup, you make a good run, and you can turn everything around and you can make everybody talk about you. And next thing you know, you're the next best thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it takes is six games. I mean, if you look at Kevin Ollie at UConn, those six games he won with Shabazz turned him into the best young coach in America, and kind of forgiven him for the NIT last year and possibly the NIT this year. So like you said, it's crazy. All it takes is six games to completely change the perception of a coach, of a team, anything like that.
Well, and that's the beauty of March Madness, right? And that's why coaches love it and they hate it, because you're given probably too much respect if you win games. And then if you lose, you know, one that first round or that second round, you're a top team, all of a sudden it was a bad year. So it's a little bit of a catch-22 with the tournament, but that's what makes it fun.
Yeah. So now you were a shooter. That's what you were obviously recruited as during your time at Xavier. You were known as a shooter. What are you doing now out after college?
Yeah, so I ended up, you know, I was flirting with playing after school. You know, ultimately, I was kind of, you know, physically a little bit beaten down a little bit. So I ended up starting a player development program geared more at 7th to 12th graders. I started it in Cincinnati, and we do it year-round. So we basically offer, you know, group classes and individual classes for players Monday through Thursday and Saturdays. And we just work on their development, their shooting, their offensive skills. We've helped develop 15 college players over the last few years, and we're looking to kind of continue to grow and expand. The current name on it is Brad Redford Basketball. You know, obviously kind of using my name, we'll be switching everything to Be Different Player Development over the summer. So we should be around for a number of years. And if, you know, any players are looking for some, you know, workouts or any information on what we do, they can always go to Brad Redford Basketball. Basketball.com.
Yeah, sounds good. And then you're calling games, right, for the radio, or are you doing it for TV?
Yeah, so I did I ended up doing all of Northern Kentucky, their men's games. I did their you know, color analyst stuff through their ESPN3 feed. And then I'll be on local 12 Sports Authority here on Sundays as well. So I'll do that during the college seasons. We did about, you know, 14, 15 games. Northern Kentucky's got a new coach in John Brandon, who coached under Shaka Smart for a number of years. He was in his first year. Northern Kentucky, I think they'll do some things in the Horizon League here moving forward. They were, you know, closer to the bottom this year. But, you know, I enjoy being around the game and following it and, you know, following players and coaches and teams. And it's a fun way for me to stay involved in the game.
How tough is it to actually call a game? Obviously, you're not doing the play-by-play. You're doing the analyst side. But how tough is it to, you know, quickly turn around and become just an analyst, especially for, you know, kind of the mid-major level?
Yeah, I think part of it comes natural. You know, because, you know, if you played the game for so many years and you've been around it, you know, you know, right? You see things a little bit differently. You know, being able to kind of try and find your style and what works, and then working with the person next year, I think that all takes time. And it's like anything else, the more you do it, the better that you're going to get at it. But you have to kind of treat it as a craft. You know, I've enjoyed doing it this year and, you know, look forward to continuing doing more work of that in the future.
So what do you think long term? You think you got a future in you with
I would love to. My dad was in TV for about 30 years, but he was more of like the news anchor guy, doing like 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And then I wanted to get more involved doing TV, and I'd love to do more games, man. I'd love to get on ESPN, get a couple games during the year and kind of see what happens.
All right, so we're going to get into a little bit of rapid fire here, fire questions. So obviously don't think too much about it. I want to hear something that comes to your mind. Most talented teammate you had at Xavier?
Jordan Crawford.
All right, I got to take a moment to talk about that game with Jordan Crawford against Kansas State, because that was One of my all-time favorite games.
Well, yeah, and then you had Gus Johnson there on the call on that one.
Which just made it 1,000 times better.
That was, like, the only game I've ever been a part of where I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever – like, you had, like, stop. It's like, this is insane. You know, most of the time, like, you're just, like, locked in the game and you're moving. That was one game. It was, like, the threes that Jacob Pullen was hitting and Danny Clemente for Kansas State, and then you had
– And Pullen had that, Jordan had that ridiculous beard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pullen, yeah. You know, it's funny. I saw Pullen. He was playing in, like, Georgia or something, the country of Georgia.
Right.
So, no, it was insane. I mean, it was crazy. We were in Salt Lake City.
Yep. It was the last game of the night.
Yes, yeah.
I remember that happened. And the reason I remember it was because it was my very first weekend in Cincinnati. And I remember I just happened to, you know, meet out one of my buddies, and we were watching the game, and all it just turned into like the Buffalo Wild Wings commercials you see,
yeah,
where the entire bar just stopped and was like, "What the hell's going on with this game?" It was just 3-3-3.
That game was absolutely insane. That's one like I definitely think about. Unfortunately, we lost that one, you know, but it was pretty cool to be a part of something that was that cool.
So, all right, yeah, Crawford makes sense for most talented. Who was the most talented opponent you ever went up against in college?
That's a good one, Jim Ned. Well, there was some, you know what, I don't know why, like, I remember Marcus Thornton for LSU.
Yeah.
Gosh, who else? Well, I mean, Tyreek Evans was good. Trying to think of anybody, like, in conference. I remember Deontay Christmas from Temple. I thought he was phenomenal. I don't know if people would remember him.
I thought he was going to be a star.
Yeah, he was really good.
So I grew up not far from Temple, about an hour and a half away. So I remember, I'm a couple years older than you, but I remember, you know, my friends being in college and whatnot up there and just being like, you know, must-see TV whenever Deontay Christmas was on.
Yeah. There's a guy, you remember Andrew Nicholson of St. Bonaventure? He was a good player.
Yeah.
Gosh, who else we got in there? It's hard to offhand. I'm trying to think of those names. I mean, I played against Derrick Rose in high school. Obviously, he was phenomenal. Played against Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon was good. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I feel like there's so many. There's so many good players out there too. And there's so many good guys that don't even end up making the NBA. It's insane. I mean, thinking about, you know, just teammates I played with and guys I played with that didn't end up making the NBA, like, shocks you almost.
What was the most memorable game you played in college?
The Kansas State one we talked about, definitely one of them. Probably all the games at home against Dayton, because we won all those. And I guess for me personally, probably senior night, just, you know, having family and friends there. And we played a good team in St. Louis, who was top 20, and we ended up winning that game. And so that one for me, I guess selfishly, I enjoyed that moment.
If you could go play for any program that's not Xavier currently, where are you going?
I'm going to Duke. I'm playing under Coach K, just with his track record and how much that he's been able to do as a coach, and, you know, how much respect he has from his players and from people all over the country. I mean, I'd love to kind of just sit in his locker room and, you know, be a part of his practices and game changes and game preparation. But Coach K would be a guy that I'd like to kind of sit under.
National Player of the Year this year is who?
Buddy Hield. I just love Buddy Hield. I've been a fan of him for, you know, ever since he's got to Oklahoma. But, you know, for me, I feel like he's the best player in the country.
I was talking to James Fraschilla, who was at Oklahoma for a couple years, for the last couple years. And I asked him, you know, I said, is Hield this good of a shooter, or is this just like is he just on fire this year? And he said, you know, no joke, I've done Steph Curry's camps and everything like that as a coach. The only player I've seen with just a better shot than Buddy is Steph Curry. So, well, it's pretty high praises for the guy.
Yeah, that's high praise.
I can see it
in that category.
Right. Who's your Final Four this year without looking at brackets?
Okay. Let's go North Carolina, Michigan State, Iowa State, and then I'll throw Virginia in there.
Iowa State, really?
Yeah, I like Monte Morris as my guy.
Man, I'm the biggest Monte Morris fan.
Yeah.
I absolutely love, I mean, the last couple of years just watching him play, where as a, you know, as a point guard, watching a guy control the game like that, where it's just, it's always under control. He's always getting his teammates involved. I mean, it's, yeah, he had what, like a 6.5-to-1 assist to turnover ratio at one point. It's insane. It's he's a guy that has to be in a top five. I know he struggled the last couple of games, but he's got to be in top five point guards, which has been obviously the hot topic this year.
Yeah, I didn't want to be called a homer with Xavier, but if I had to pick a fifth one, Xavier would be it. But Monte Morris, a Michigan guy, you're right. He's, I mean, he's a stud. I think he's made a lot of improvements this year from what he's done last year. And you know, you get a guard like that that, you know, really gets you going in the NCAA tournament. He can make some things happen.
All right, so you mentioned Hinkle Fieldhouse earlier, so let's rule that out. But your favorite arena that you played in, besides obviously take away Cintas, take away Hinkle.
I enjoyed playing at UD Arena, and I actually enjoyed the Palestra in Philadelphia. Yep. Just same kind of feel as like a Hinkle, just the kind of the old school basketball feel. And we played St. Joe's there, but yeah, Palestra was a really good one.
Now, as a shooter, what was the best gym just to shoot at?
St. Bonaventure was the best one to shoot at because it was set up more like a high school gym, so everything was like closed in and it was really tight. There wasn't a lot of space behind the basket, so I know like whenever I went to Bonaventure, I always looked forward to being there.
what was the one fan base that just gave it to you the most while you were on the court?
You know what's funny is like the like when you go to like UC, you go to UD Arena, or you go to a gym that's completely packed, it's harder to hear like individual people yelling at you, right? It's just like the masses. So like I found like the worst ones was like Rhode Island, when you'd have like half capacity, but like people would just yell direct things at you and everybody could hear what they said. there's like no way to like drown out the noises or drown out their voice. Like everybody's literally hearing what one person's directing at you.
What was the one road trip each year that you just dreaded? You know, when I talked to James from Oklahoma, he said he just absolutely hated going to Texas Tech because there's nothing in Lubbock, Texas.
I hated going to LaSalle. It was really? It was so far. We stayed in Philadelphia, but it was like an hour out of the city, and I just, the gym at LaSalle, I couldn't stand it, and so I never played well at LaSalle. That's the one that pops right in my head.
So you'd stay out in the suburbs of Philly and then come in for the game.
Oh, yeah. There's something about going up to LaSalle that I just always had a hard time with.
Now, when you travel with Xavier, is it typically on plane? How did you guys typically travel?
I mean, typically they private just about everything. Private. So we would just the first couple of years, we would actually just like, we wouldn't even go through security. We would just have the bus, would just go directly to the plane. And then that changed.
Fly out of Lunken or fly to CBJ?
We did. So we flew out of Lunken, which is just a small private airport outside of the city over in like High Park, Mount Lookout area. But yeah, Xavier does it right. They get, you know, the private flights is where it's at. Cause I mean, if you have a game on Friday at 5, you're practicing in Cincinnati Thursday at 10 o'clock. And then you fly in the next day, you practice that night, and then you're back home by like 8 o'clock.
What was the one moment, or what did you do that caused Chris Mack to yell at you the most?
I mean, I'm an offensive guy, and like everyone that knows me knows, like I'm built to like score, I'm built to shoot. But like when we were running straight pack line man to man, he would lose his mind on me sometimes. it was either boxing out or one on one defense, but definitely the defensive side. He used to cut me down a little bit.
Who was the what's your All American team this year? Who are the five best players in college basketball?
Oh, that's a good one right there. I go Valentine, Michigan State,
yeah.
Mark Page, Carolina, Ulis, Kentucky.
Obviously, Buddy.
Buddy Hield, 4, and then I got. Can I go Monte Morris or any other big in there?
No, I like the old guard lineup.
I went all guards. Obviously, you can tell what I like.
What was the what was the one you mentioned senior night? Was there something that stuck out, or what's it like playing on senior night when you know it's obviously your last game? You know, what made me think about this was watching Michigan State yesterday. Everyone gets down, kisses center court. You know, what's it like kind of knowing, all right, my collegiate career is over at this respective school? Yeah, from a home game standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just, I mean, you realize at that point, I mean, you're obviously your time is kind of numbered, not only at the school as a player, but, you know, as a student, and, you know, that kind of things are going to, you know, move on and change. I mean, for me at that time, I kind of just really enjoyed the moment, though. And I was glad at that time I was able to just kind of slow down everything mentally and really embrace it and enjoy those kind of last few games and just kind of take it all in and enjoy everything from the locker room to stepping out on the court. But yeah, it was always fun. It's a good memory looking back at that stuff.
All right, I'll let you get out of here with the last question. Who wins the national championship this year?
I'm going to go with Michigan State.
All right. I mean, it makes sense. Kansas is what everyone's saying.
Yeah, Michigan State to me, with the way that they're playing right now, with Valentine, Costello, when Forbes is hitting shots. And, I mean, Izzo's like a magician when you get him into the tournament. Yeah. So, you know, and this team's not coming as a 4 or 5 seed. This team's going to be, you know, 1 or 2.
All right, well, thanks a lot for coming on again, man. I know you had a busy day with recording some other shows and going to the game. Where can everyone follow you at on Twitter?
Yeah, so on Twitter, you can follow me at B_RadXU12. And then on Instagram, you can go to – it's under Brad Redford B-Ball. So feel free to follow those two accounts and kind of stay up to date with what we got going on. But, hey, I appreciate you having me on today. You know, hopefully our conversation will get a few people going and excite them even a little bit more as we move over into the tournament.
Yeah, so everyone, follow Brad. Follow the show at Storm the Court PC. Obviously, follow me at Barstool Reegs. We'll be back again. Obviously, we're going with March coming around. I'll be back with another podcast dropping on Wednesday.